This morning, we're looking at Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 to 30, and it's in the New Living Translation. At that time, Jesus prayed this prayer, "O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves wise and clever, and for revealing them to the childlike. Yes, Father, it pleased you to do it this way. My Father has entrusted everything to me. No one truly knows the Son except the Father, and no one truly knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light."
Getting filled up and staying filled up in this world, I think we're at a challenging time. I did a memorial service yesterday for Weston Haskell, and I got in a conversation around the buffet table with someone, and they said, "Yeah, we need to be filled up all the time because we leak a lot." And I said, "Well, that's a very different thought than what I had for my opening of my message that I'm going to do tomorrow." And it's true we leak, and I'll get to that in a moment, but I think we have to keep intentional about being filled up because we are pouring ourselves out to other people over and over and over again. And although we've been kind of held captive in our house for a couple of years, it's amazing how we were still pouring out of ourselves and in new ways, like on Zoom. It was worth the effort, but it took an effort to make those things happen. Paul wants us to know that there is a best source to choose when you're talking about being filled up. Ephesians 5:18, instead of, and I'll summarize for you, all the other ways that people have a tendency to get filled up that really don't fill you full, and they don't last very long, at least not for eternity. Instead of being filled or trying to be filled with those things, be filled and keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, when you read that passage, the intentionality of the grammar there is it's not just a one-shot deal. It's talking about the fact that each and every day, as we move along in life, as we pour ourselves out, we're going to find ourselves running low on spiritual fuel, emotional fuel, if we don't get filled up regularly. And that's what I want to talk about this morning is I think, given everything we're dealing with, we're pouring out a lot, and we need to keep making sure our spiritual tank is filled to the full. Now, why don't we get our spiritual tanks filled up? Why do we find ourselves, I was in a car the other day, and the "I need more gas" light was going faster and faster, and the person driving just ignored it. "Oh, is it like that all the time? Oh no, I need gas." Well, are we going to need gas between going from here to here? Why don't we have a full tank? One reason is we think we have enough fuel. We don't think that as we pour ourselves out, that as we start out our day or we start something, that we need to check to make sure our tank is full or not. And because we're not checking it, we're not starting off with a full tank, and we need to do that. Number two is we ignore the gauges. Now, you have three gauges. Every person has three gauges that they need to watch in their life. For sure, one of them is our spiritual gauge. And on my dashboard, that's the biggest of the gauges, is my spiritual gauge. But I realize I have two other gauges as well, a physical gauge, how am I doing physically? And then I also have an emotional gauge. And many times we think it's all about just staying physically fit and staying spiritually fit. Well, we can't ignore that emotional gauge either. How are we doing this morning as we come to worship? Are your gauges telling you you're full? You half empty? Are you in need of fuel? Are you running on empty? Check your gauges. Keep an eye on those spiritually, mentally, and physically, and you'll know how you're doing, where you're fuel level is, so to speak. Now, some people, they just think they have a bigger tank than they really have. I noticed when I was in my younger years of ministry, I have a big tank. I can do a lot, accomplish a lot. I can burn the candle at both ends, dawn to dusk, right? And I did really well, and then I'd get sick all of a sudden for no particular reason for 3 or 4 days, and I couldn't do anything but lie in bed. Well, why was that happening? Do you notice more students go to the health center following finals than any other time of the year? Yeah, it's stressful. It maximizes our fuel, and so our gauges are saying, hey, you're not full. Don't think you have a bigger tank than you really have as a person. As I've gotten a little older, I've noticed this. My tank's a little smaller than it used to be. And therefore, I have to remind myself, yeah, you're not 35 anymore, bub. Sometimes, and I think this is an often identified thing, and that is we're too busy to go to the gas station. We're too busy to stop and get fueled up. I'm so busy. Well, I'll do what? I'll take care of that later. I think when you're driving and you're commuting and you've got things to do, you only go to empty with no gas one time. You know why? It costs you so much time, so much energy, it's not worth it. Now, we live out here in, as it was called in one commercial, the outpost of Squim. And I don't know if you know this, but we had kind of emergency preparedness last week. And one of the things they suggest you do is fill your car up when it's halfway full or halfway empty. Don't let your car get all the way down to empty. Why? Because if the big event happens and it's not the rapture, it's the other big event other than Jesus coming back to our planet, you're going to wish you had a full gas tank that you could use for a variety of things that you would need. And what? An emergency. Sometimes we turn our lives into an emergency because we think we're just so important. That our task is so captivating to us. Oh, we don't have time to fill up. But then we find ourselves in empty and we implode or explode. And what do we wish? We wish we would have taken a little longer with our quiet time in the morning. We wish we would have been in worship on Sunday. Because we need that. We need that. So filling up, I think you have to realize that your tank, your emotional, spiritual, physical tank, it needs to be filled up, and it needs to be filled up regularly. That's what our scripture passage is really telling us. Let's look at Matthew 11. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying a heavy burden, and I will give you rest." Now, I know this about you. This is not if you have one, it's which one do you have? How many do you have? Because we have burdens. In fact, I don't think I've run into anyone in the last several years that doesn't have some kind of a heavy burden that they're dealing with. Jesus says, if you come to me, especially if you know you have a heavy burden, I'm the one that can give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, let me teach you, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Now, you know about a yoke. It's an oxen out in the field, and I don't know if you've seen one of these on National Geographic, but I've seen a real one. I've even seen it working with two cattle. The one closest to the plow is the big one, and that's where the mature beast goes, because there's a variety of animals that they use. And then there's a second, smaller piece of the yoke, and that's where the upstart animal goes. The one that doesn't know, the one that's not mature, the one that's not as capable. And when they pull, it's very clear, the majority of the power and the pressure and the burden of the plow going through the soil is taken by the larger animal and the larger yoke. Jesus takes that part of the yoke. And he gives us the easier one. The one that's manageable for us as human beings. Those who have fallen short of God's glorious ideal. Now, here's my thing. Why is it that we don't get all of this until our fuel is very, very low and our tank is empty? Here it is. Everybody's got one of these experiences. Solomon is speaking out of Proverbs. The Lord gave us a mind and a conscience so we cannot hide from ourselves. Ooh, we're really good at trying to do that. Have you noticed? We have some great defense mechanisms. And those defense mechanisms are designed to keep us from knowing who we really are, getting in touch with that. But sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. Now, I don't know about you, but I've changed, I've pivoted when I failed. And I can tell you, I've pivoted harder in my failure than I have in my successes. And I think that's true of all of us. I think Solomon is very on point here. And he asks a great question. Why does it take a bad experience before you wake up and smell the coffee? And my answer to that is because I'm human. My answer to that is because I'm part of the fallen world. Why does that happen? Because I think more of myself than is true. And what we need is we need an accurate reflection of who we really are and what this world is all about. And the Word of God does that in a unique and special way. And hear how true it is. We have to falter and fail. We have to make a big mistake before we begin to pivot. We begin to look for, a rescuer, a savior, a miracle. Yeah, we've prayed all those prayers in those difficult times, haven't we? Now, some of us are just like the prodigal child. The lost son. He wasted everything he had been given on foolish living until he was broke. I didn't have that experience because I was broke way before then. Right? You got to have something to go squander it so you're broke. I was born broke. But it's true, okay? We spend what we have on foolish living until we're broke, miserable, and even starving. He had to go get a job feeding pigs. And he became so hungry that he was willing to eat the pig's food. But finally he came to his senses and he said to himself, "Why am I living like this? At my father's home, even the hired servants eat better than I do." So he decided to get up and go home to his father. Why is it that we have to get lost? Why is it that we have to expend all the good that we have in our life on foolish things that we think will fill our tank? And we know they really don't work. They don't last. Yeah, there's a little in there for a while, but yeah, it's not right. It's not enough. It doesn't really sustain us. Now, it is the wise person that realizes that that's the way we are as human beings. It takes a problem. Here's a great example. The lost child. And I think it's awesome in this parable of Jesus that he's reminding us that God is a very good father to us. And you know the whole story. The father keeps looking down the pathway every day, praying that his son will wake up and smell the coffee. That he'll wake up and he'll come home. And why does the father do that? Because the father loves him no matter how foolish he's been. That's the test of a father in these days, isn't it? And it tries mothers as well. They get lost. Will they ever return? We've done our best at setting out a course for them. And as they go on their own, if we've done our job, they'll know how to come back if they choose to do that. And I know a father's heart, I believe. I know a mother's heart. It's painful to see them go off, do foolish things, make bad choices. But when a child wakes up and realizes that they have been living a foolish life and they are better off to come home, come back to their mother or their father or their family, wow. Well, I know you're praying that prayer every day. In fact, at the memorial service yesterday, I heard that from a grandmother. Waiting, wanting to make a difference. But the truth is you can't go after them. They've got to come to you. Why? Because they're an adult and they have to learn to make their own good decisions. And doing too much for them in that moment, and I know this might be hard for some of you, how codependent of you. And I've been there. And instead of being codependent, we have to be like the father in the parable of the lost son. They finally have to wake up and they have to finally decide that they want to come home, so to speak. And they may not literally come home, but they'll reconnect with you. They'll reconnect with the family. And that happens well when they do what? I was foolish and I was stupid. You gave me a great start, and what did I do? I squandered it. I squandered it. Why is it, Solomon says, that something bad has to happen before we reorient, recalibrate, redirect our lives in a better path? What we need to do is, in our need, reach out to Jesus. Verse 28 of Matthew 11, Jesus says, if you're tired from carrying heavy burdens, come to me, I will give you rest. How many of us say, no, it's up to me, I got to do it all on my own? And there are a lot of things you can do on your own. But have you noticed there are things, there are relationships, there are circumstances, there are settings in life where you're just not enough? As smart and as capable as you are? And we have to call out to God and tell God, you know what? God, you were right. You're right. All right, I give up and I give in. This burden is too big for me to shoulder on my own. I could use some help, and if you're going to get some help, why not get some divine help? Why not get some miraculous help? Why not get some supernatural help when you need it? All this resource God is willing to share with us, all we have to do is what? Ask, seek, and knock. But that's another message. I talked with you about the yoke, the larger part of the yoke. Jesus takes the heavy part. He gives us the light part. Now let's listen to Psalm 55:22. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. Oh, that's Galatians 5:25, sorry. Now we're to Psalm 55. Pile your troubles onto God's shoulders. He'll carry your load, and he will help you out. Now, what does a yoke do for two oxen out in the field? A mature oxen is on the inside, and the upstart learning oxen is on the outside. Two things happen: direction and pace. When we're yoked with Jesus Christ, it helps us with direction and it helps us with pace. Now, let's go back to our gauges. Let's go back to our tank. Why is our tank not full? Why are we not filling up on the Holy Spirit? It's usually because we're not picking the best direction, and we're not picking a pace that is human, that we can accomplish. And isn't it interesting? You can go both ways. You can have too fast of a pace, or you're one that needs to get off the couch and out of your sweatpants and go do something. We got used to that. See, life is a difficult thing to take on. This human existence, yes, it's great and it's got great points of celebration and all of that, but it is also a very, very difficult challenge, and I think too difficult a challenge to take out on your own. In fact, I think in our need, we reach out to connect with something or someone. Don't we? I think we do. We reach out for someone human, or we reach out to some substance that will numb us from the realities of our life. Why not reach out and connect with Jesus Christ? Why not do that? You're reaching out anyway. Why not connect with something that's not only good in the moment, but it's good for all eternity? It's a deal. It's the best deal that you'll ever get in this life. Jesus says, you take my yoke upon you. That's a great deal. He's going to do all the hard work. You're going to help, but you're going to get the lighter work. Same direction, the best direction, the eternal direction, and the right pace for you, for who you are as a person. We're yoked to something or someone. Why not be yoked to the very best there is, Jesus Christ? And it is about a trust relationship with him. See, it begins by being willing to be yoked with him, but then it's about the direction and the pace each and every day. Jesus says, "Learn from me, I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Verse 29. It raises a great question, why, you know, I'm asking Jesus to be the leader of my life. The best illustration I love is, you know, you have the seat of your conscience and your will. And you have your ego sitting in that throne, that chair. And yes, there's a decisive point where you take your ego and you set it to the side and you allow Jesus, he's the king, let him reign on the throne of your life. And we do that, but we have to remind ourselves that that's something we have to do regularly, daily. And so we enter into this trust relationship with Jesus, and all I can tell you is he hasn't failed me yet. Man, stuff all around me's failed. I'm failing. But not Jesus. When we're connected to him, we have to trust him. And the only things that interrupt the yoke, direction, and pace process are two things. One, being too aggressive. Aggression. Why? Because you don't know how to wait. You don't know how to let Jesus lead. You're the one that's pushing instead of allowing Jesus to lead. And it's only an arrogant person who thinks they know more how to live this life than Jesus did. So we don't want to be aggressive. We want to let Jesus lead. The right direction, the right pace. And anytime we start getting arrogant, well, I can tell you life's pretty good at realigning you when you're arrogant. And if somebody hasn't told you, I'll tell you today, that's one of the great things about worship is it reminds us who we are and why we are. And we need that so we don't get too arrogant about ourselves. It is about trusting Jesus. And then it's about getting filled up first each and every day. Since the Lord is directing our steps, why try to understand everything that happens along the way? You got to trust. And you got to trust him every day. Here's what Jesus encourages us to do by his example. Find a quiet and secluded place. Just be there as simply and as honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense and be filled up with his grace. And I don't know about you, but I need his grace every single day. You know why? I'm just not as gracious as I think I am. We all have reasons or excuses why we're not full of the Holy Spirit. We're not being filled by the Holy Spirit. And we shouldn't be surprised that we become overloaded and overburdened. And yeah, some people have to get to rock bottom before they're willing to turn and connect with a God that understands them, that loves them unconditionally, and has a plan for their life. And I'd say I wouldn't be that aggressive and I wouldn't be that arrogant. Jesus is humble and gentle. And the more you get to know him, the more you allow the Holy Spirit to fill you, you'll know his word is true. He does the hard, the most difficult stuff. He gives us the lighter, better part of the yoke of relationship with him. Now, why not yoke up with him instead of something temporal, something that is trendy or contemporary? He is the God that was. He is the God who is. He is the God who will be forevermore. Let's pray. Lord, you know we've got excuses. We have a long list of reasons why we kind of disconnect from you, or we're connected with you, but we're not utilizing what that connection is all about. Lord, we love the illustration of the yoke. What a great God you are. You do the hard part. And it doesn't mean that we're not working. It doesn't mean that we're not leaning in and doing our part, but we are not you. We are not God. And so we realize that we need a God to set the direction and the pace. And Lord, in our aggressiveness or our arrogance, oh wow, we confess that to you. Lord, help us to trust you more. Help us to find that place every day where we can connect with you, because, Lord, the truth is we need to be filled up with your grace each and every day. And we're thankful that you do that for us as we ask, seek, and knock on you. Lord, thank you for being such a great God, such a great Heavenly Father. And we just pray these things in your name. Amen.